in all his
Thank
glory
you.
and splendor. Nachum, look that you're struggling to get in.
Something like that.
No, just your screen, it just whatever, it was bouncing around, but anyway, you're here. Baruch Hashem. Okay, Rabbi, so we're in the middle of a Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Omed Aleph. The first half of the Mishnah gave us the comprehensive list of all those who are Chayav Skila. As Rashi already pointed out, some of them the Torah writes quite clearly the punishment is Skila. Some of them the Torah does not write it clearly, but there's there various Limudim. I would have to look at these various cases in Mitzvah Hashem throughout the Masechta. That was the first half. Second half of the Mishnah is what happens if a person has relations with a woman who is Asa to him for more than one reason. So we're not talking about different people, it's one person. But she happens to be related to him in various ways. For example, one's father's wife could well be an Eishes Av, but also, if she's married at the time, an Eishes Ish. Or a case of a mother could be an Ein, and also Eishes Av. So the Tanna Kamma said, indeed, you're jolly well chayev twice. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're only chayev for the aim. The last case we saw was Habo al Eishes Av. Eishes Av, one's father's wife, might well also be an Eishes Ish, if she's married at the time. And the Mishnah said, "Bein b'chaye oviv, bein la'achar misas oviv," which, as we saw yesterday, Rashi pointed out that after the father has died, clearly the issa of Eishes Ish has obviously disappeared, but the issa of Eishes Av remains by virtue of the fact that this woman was once upon a time married to your father, even if the father is no longer around. But that woman remains forever an Eishes Av. But Eishes Ish obviously does not apply. Eishes Ish only applies when indeed she is a married woman. The minute the husband dies, she's no longer an Eishes. So obviously, when the Mishnah says, Bein b'chayev, Bein la'achar misas oviv, as Rashi pointed out, obviously that's only referring to the Issa of Eishes Av.
Rabbi,
Bein.
isn't
Yeah?
couldn't it also be Eishes Av as your mother?
Could be. Yeah. 100%. We already discussed that. An aim being an Eishes Av that the Gemara discussed in the previous line. And then the next case was, even if it's not your mother, your father's remarried after you were born. So she clearly now is Osset you because of Eishes Av. As long as the Av is around and they're happily married, then she's also an Eishes Ish. So the very last line of the Mishnah is where we're up to. Habo al kalosoi. Habo al kalosoi. What's habo al kalosoi? Habo al kalosoi is somebody who has relations with his daughter-in-law. Now, once again, if the daughter-in-law is still married to your son, then she is simultaneously kalosoi and also an Eishes Ish. Says the Mishnah once again, Habo al kalosoi, chayev oleho, number one, mishum kalosoi. Number two, mishum Eishes Ish. And once again, bein b'chaye benoi, bein la'achar misas benoi, bein min ha'erusin, bein min ha'nisuin. And once again, we would obviously say that when the Mishnah says that this applies even if the son has passed away, that only refers to the issa of kalosei. But there's clearly no issa of Eishes Ish. This daughter-in-law might forever remain a daughter-in-law of yours, but she's clearly not a married woman. And if she's not a married woman because her husband, in other words, this father's son, has died, then there will not be two remaining Isurim. Okay, so now look into the Gemara. And the Gemara actually does not immediately deal with at all the beginning part of the list. In fact, it doesn't deal with it at all now. That list of Abaal Eim, Eishes Az, Zochar, Behemoth, Megadeth, we'll see throughout the Masechta. But the Gemara does home in now on that second part of the Mishnah, So we have to now review that second part of the Mishnah, because if it's not clear, then we will have no idea what the Gemara is talking about. So again, the Mishnah said, Habo al Ho'em. Habo al Ho'em. Somebody had relations with his mother. So there's a double chiyuv. Number one, because she's his mother. And number two, because she happens to be Eishes Av, the wife of your father. To which Rabbi Yehuda responded and said, no, you're only chayev for one issa. And what is that? The fact that she's your mother. So for some reason, we don't know why yet, for some reason, Rabbi Yehuda maintains you are not chayev for that second issa. The second issa, meaning the issa of Eishes Av, for some reason, even though she clearly is an Eishes Av, you're not chayev for that. So we have a big machlokes. According to the Tanna Kamma, you're chayev too. Remember, we're talking about when you did it b'shogeg, so it's two chatois. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, you only chayev one chatos for Eim, but not for Eishes Av. So have a look now at the Gemara, Tanya. Zot the Gemara, Tanya, we've learned in a brayso. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Im loy hoysa imoy reuya la'aviv. Let's just translate. We'll see what this means in a second. The brayso is telling us, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda once again, that if the mother was not reuya la'aviv, what does that mean? It was not reuya. She was not fitting, she was not allowed to marry your father. Einoi chayev ela mishum ho'em bilvad. Then you'd only be chayev one, and that is by virtue of the fact that she's your mother. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, we have to be clear over here, otherwise the Gemara is going to deal with this for quite a while. If we're not clear on line number one, we'll lose the entire trail. There seems to be a difference between the way the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Yehuda as opposed to how the Braiser quoted Rabbi Yehuda. It's the same Rabbi Yehuda, but he's being quoted differently. Clearly, there are two opinions as to what exactly did Rabbi Yehuda say. Again, what did the Tanna Kamma say? The Tanna Kamma said, you're chayev a double issa. Number one, aim. Number two, Eishes Av. The way the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Yehuda was that no, you're only chayev for aim. That's it. No strings attached. However, the Braiser, when quoting that very same Rabbi Yehuda, quotes it differently. That Rabbi Yehuda didn't merely say the only chayev for aim. No. He said, if this woman was inappropriate, meaning she was not allowed to marry your father, then you're only chayev for aim. That's not the way the Mishnah quoted it. Is that clear? The Mishnah just said, you're only chayev for aim, finished. Whether this woman was allowed to marry your father, not allowed to marry your father, for whatever reason, as yet unexplained, you're only chayev one chatos. Rabbi Yehuda, as quoted in the Braiser, said, no, when I said that you're only chayev one chatos, that's in a case of when this woman was not allowed to marry your father. Why was she not allowed to marry? For some reason, she was an issa. Maybe the father was a kohen and this woman is a grusha. So if it was a woman who was not allowed to marry your father, then you're only chayev by virtue of the fact that she is your mother, but not for Eishes Av. Have a look at Rashi. Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Tana. This Tana, meaning in the Braisa, Polig. He disagrees. Atana Didan. He disagrees with our Tana, meaning the one in the Mishnah. Because the Tana in the Mishnah, Deloi Maflig. He never differentiated. Lud Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Ru'uya La She'ena Ru'uya. The Tana of the Mishnah made no stipulation. Didn't say anything about whether the woman was allowed to marry your father, not allowed to marry your father, didn't say anything like that. However, V'hai Tana. However, this Tana in the Braisa is lay. What does he hold? Dahainu time of Rabbi Yehuda. This Tana holds at the whole reason behind Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Why indeed Rabbi Yehuda says you're only chayav for aim? It's because deloy hoyo loy la'aviv ishus ba. There was no ishus. What does that mean? There was no ishus. There was no marriage. Why was there no marriage? Because she wasn't allowed to marry her father. Hilkoch, therefore, loy karina bay. Therefore, I cannot even call her, quote unquote, Eishes Av. She's not the wife of your father. She might be your mother. You were definitely born to her. You came out of her rechem. But she's not your father's wife. She's not your father's wife. Now, the Gemara will give various examples, but just as an example, let's just quote an example for our purposes. As mentioned, imagine a kohen marries a grusha and has a child. The kohen was not allowed to marry a grusha, as we well know. That child is definitely the son of that woman. That's just a biological relationship. That's not a halachic relationship, that's a biological relationship. Therefore, if he has relations with his mother, well, obviously he's chayav for bo haloim. But because she was not ru'uya to marry the father, meaning the kohen, so indeed she's not married. And if she's not married, you can hardly call her the wife of your father. She's not the wife of your father. She's the woman that your father had relations with, but she's not a wife. And if that's the case, the Tana in the Braisa very, very understandably says, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that you're only chayav for aim, because we're talking about where the marriage was an illegal marriage. That's not the way the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah made no stipulation. The Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're only chayav for aim. Sounds like in the Mishnah that even if it was a perfectly permissible marriage, for some reason, we don't know yet why, Rabbi Yehuda says you only have one chatos and not two. By the way, if you want to guess why that may be, we already alluded to it before. We discussed this yesterday. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds you cannot be chayav two chatois for one guf. Remember, there were no two acts of Issa. There was one act of Issa. It happens to be that this woman is, as it were, wearing two hats. She was wearing two hats. What were the two hats? Number one, she happened to be your mother. Number two, Eishes Av. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda simply holds that yes, the marriage might well have been 100% permissible, but there's only one guf. You cannot be chayev a double chatos for one guf. Maybe that's pshat and Rabbi Yehuda will have to see. But either way, that would make sense the way that the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Yehuda. The way the Braisa quoted Rabbi Yehuda, it's completely different. The way the Braisa quoted Rabbi Yehuda is that it doesn't bother me in the slightest the fact that it's Guf Echad. The fact that it's Guf Echad does not exempt you from that second Chatos. You would still be Chayev too. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda says you're only Chayev one Chatos is for a different reason. Because we're talking about a case where the mother was in fact not ru'uya, she was not fitting for marriage for this particular individual, so they're not married. Well, therefore, she's not an Eishes Av. That is a machlokes between the Mishnah and the Braisa. What exactly was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Now, the Gemara goes into more details. What does that mean when Rabbi Yehuda said that she was not ru'uya? What does that mean, not ru'uya? So look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, "Mai eino ru'uya loy," quote unquote. What does that mean that she's not ru'uya for him? Ilema, if you're going to tell me that we're talking about chayve krisos, the chayve misas bezdin. If you're going to tell me that it's a type of marriage that you're chayav kores for, And that's why the marriage doesn't take effect. Or it's a marriage for maybe there's no kores, but there is misas bezdin. Well, if that's the case, what's the problem? Says the Gemara, I lema chayve krisas v'chayve misas bezdin. Michlal, can we now deduce the Rabbonon, Savri, that the Rabbonon, remember, Rabbi Yehuda was coming to disagree with the Rabbonon. What did the Rabbonon say? The Rabbonon said, you're chayev a double chatos. And what's Rabbi Yehuda saying here in this brisa? That no, you're not chayev a double chatos because she wasn't allowed to marry. So one second. So what did the Rabbonon hold? The Rabbonon clearly hold that even though she wasn't allowed to marry him, but there is a double chatos. So we clearly have a machloika. So we're trying to work out what is the case that would make sense for there to be a machloikas about? If we're talking about chayve krisus, what's a classic case of chayve krisus? All the cases of aroyos, let's say somebody marries their sister. So then I'm afraid to say Rabbi Yehuda is 100% right. How on earth can the Rabbanon disagree? How can the Rabbanon say, no, sorry, you chayev two? One because it's your mother, and one because it's Eishes Av. But it's not. Why is it not? Says the Gemara. Michlal derabbonon savri. Are you trying to tell me that the Rabbonon hold afal gav de einu ruuyaloi, even though she's not fitting for me, it'd still get two chatois? It can't be. Why? Halesle kiddushin begavo? Question mark. But there's no kiddushin. There's no kiddushin. What happens if somebody says, I'd like to marry my table? Finish. We all understand. There's no kiddushin. You can't be mekadosh a table. So what happens if you mekadosh an isha who's a chayve krisus to you? You give kiddushin to your sister and you say, Hare at mekudeshes li. The halacha is the kiddushin doesn't take effect. So even if they had relations and they had a child and it's chayev for imoy, but you cannot possibly be chayev for Eishes Av, because she simply is not Eishes Av because they're not married. So how can there be a machlokas about this bichlal? So too for Chayvei Misas Bezdin. Have a look at Rashi. Chayvei Krisus, meaning Sha'asurin Olav Be'issacharis, meaning a woman who would be forbidden to him and would be punishable by Koris, Dekai Malon, that we hold in Kiddushin Perek Gimel, Deloi Tofsi Behu Kiddushin. That Kiddushin is not Tofus. What does that mean? It's not Tofus. It doesn't grab hold. It doesn't take effect. So Michlal Derabonon Bitmiyo? Question mark. Are you trying to tell me now the Rabbonon would disagree? How can they disagree? There's no room for disagreement at all. So we don't understand yet what did Rabbi Yehuda mean. Kiddushin does not take effect in the case of Chayvei Krisus, period. There is no discussion about that. There is nobody in the world who disagrees with that. So if we're dealing with a woman who is Chayvei Krisus, then Rabbi Yehuda is 1,000% correct. So how on earth can the Rabbanon turn around and say, no, sorry, you chayev two. One for Aim, one for Eishes Av. But she's not Eishes Av because no Kiddushin. So clearly that could not have been the case that Rabbi Yehuda was referring to. So do you know what was Yehuda referring to? Says the Gemara, back into the Gemara on the third bottom line. Elo chayve lavin. What's chayve lavin? Chayve lavin is when there is a lav in the Torah. The Torah does say, loy, do not marry a particular person, but it is not punishable by death or by koris. There is a machloikas, if you do marry her, is kiddushin tofus or kiddushin not tofus? What would be an
What's an
example?
example of
I'm
that?
going to say in a minute. For example, you're not allowed to marry an almana to a kohen gadol. An almana to a kohen gadol. Or any Jew is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. If he marries a mamzeres, there is no koris and there is no misas bezdin. Is the kiddushin teifas or not? There is a machlekes. Says the Gemara, V'Rabbi Yehuda sovar lo k'Rabbi Akiva. This is the famous opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Da Omar ein kiddushin teifsin b'chayve Rabbi Yehuda holds, now this is not unanimous, not everybody agrees, but Rabbi Akiva says that kiddushin are not teifes b'chayve lavin. So you know what? Rabbi Yehuda agrees. But at least I understand now what the machlokes is about. Rabbanon disagree. Rabbanon say that kiddushin is teifes b'chayve lavin. So if a kohen gadol would marry a widow, which is certainly not allowed to, but there's no koris, and there's no misas bezdin, so it's chayve lavin. Is the kiddushin chal or the kiddushin is not chal? The answer is machlokes. According to Rabbi Akiva, the kiddushin is not chal, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. So if the kiddushin is not chal, well then she's not Eishes Av. She might be your mother. There was definitely relations and you were born from that mother, but there's no Eishes Av. So how can the Rabbanon disagree? Because they hold fundamentally that, sorry, Kiddushin is Teifus in Chayvei Lavin. It's true, we certainly agree, there's no argument about that. Kiddushin is definitely not Teifus in Chayvei Krisus. That's one of the Arayos. But where we're not dealing with one of the Arayos, rather we're dealing with the case of Chayvei Lavin. So in Chayvei Lavin, there is a machlokes whether Kiddushin is Teifus or it's not. And what will be the ramification regarding our sugya? How many chatois do you get? If you hold the kiddushin is teifas, well then she's married to your father, so she is indeed an eishes av. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva that the kiddushin is not teifas. Well, if that's the case, she's not eishes av. Okay, so there's a machlokes, says Rashi. Elo b'chayve lavin. Rashi gives us a few examples. Could go in mamzeres, v'nasino, oyal mona, l'kohen gadol. Dekay melon. We hold the general opinion is the tofsi underline behu kiddushin. The general opinion is that kiddushin is teifas, and it's learned from ya'achas ahuva va'achas snua. But Rabbi Akiva disagrees. The Talmud Rabbi Akiva, Hossam, he learns it from a different pasuk. Mefarish milo yikach ish es eshes oviv, etc., etc. We're not going to get involved now in that whole drasha. Okay, so we have a machloikas long before our Gemara in Sanhedrin. Is kiddushin teifas in chayve lavin? If a Jew marries a mamzeres, if a kohen gadol marries an almona, are they married or are they not married? And the answer is machlekas. According to the Rabbanon, they are not married. They are not, excuse me, according to the Rabbanon, they are married because Kiddushin is indeed Teifas B'chayvei Lavin. And therefore, if the son has relations with her, it's a double chatos. According to Rabbi Akiva, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds, they are not married. Kiddushin is not teifas in chayvei lavin. Well, then there can't be a double issa. There's only an issa of aim, but you cannot possibly be mechayva for eishes av because she's not eishes av because the kiddushin never took effect. Says yes.
So in a case where it's a ben kohen, and let's say you're saying it's not a marriage, okay, but he has the same issur because he's also a kohen. So she's a gerusha, for instance, and therefore that's why the father was never married to her. So he has a second love because he's not allowed to be with her also because he's a kohen.
In that particular case, could be. We're not talking about that. We're talking about almona to a kohen gadol, for example.
Okay, but clearly that we're talking about a kohen to a gerusha. That was one of the cases.
Again, but that wasn't the discussion. That wasn't the discussion. The discussion is there an issa of eishes av? Whether there are other issurim, might well be. For example, like you said, mamzeres. If the father is not allowed to marry her, then the child's also not allowed to marry her because she's a mamzeres. You're right. That's not the discussion. The discussion is, will there be an issa for eishes av? For eishes av. And that's what the
Rabbi,
Gemara
is the
is saying. And that's what the Gemara is saying. It depends on this machlekes. It's a machlekes between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yehuda, which is the world famous machlekes, is Kiddushin Teifes v'chayvei lavim. Yes, Rabbi Nachum.
when you have a brisa like this, is it coming to explain Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, or is
No,
it
no.
just?
Rashi said clearly, Polig. That Rashi we said before, Hai Tana Polig, is disagreeing with our Mishnah. Rashi said, Hai, the first Rashi on the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hai Tana Polig Atana Didan. The
So
Tana in
that's
the
the
Brisa.
brisa's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda in it.
No, it's arguing with what did Rabbi Yehuda say? There are two versions of Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yehuda is that in all cases you only chayev one, and the Brisa's version of Rabbi Yehuda is no, not in all cases. In the particular case that she was not allowed to marry him, then you're only chayev one, which we've now discovered is referring to chayev lavin. So it's a machloikas. What is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Two versions of Rabbi Yehuda. So now, according to what we've just said now, it turns out that Rabbi Yehuda, as quoted in the Brisa, not Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda in the Brisa holds that Kiddushin is not Teifas in Chayvei Lavin. Therefore, if one's father married, quote unquote, Chayvei Lavin, they are in fact not married. They're not married. So if the child born from that relationship now has relations with a mother, yes, he's over the issa of aim, but he has not been over the issa of eishes av, because she's not eishes av, because kedushin is not teifas. Why is kedushin not teifas? This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which Rabbi Yehuda agrees with.
Rabbi, can I just quickly? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So then forget this case. So in the case where he wasn't allowed to marry her, therefore it's not a marriage. Therefore, if a separate person also get altogether has relations with her, he's not chayav with an eishes ish.
100%. Or anything, right? Not HSH, not HSAV, nothing. There's no marriage. Finish, there's no marriage. She's a Panuya. Asks the Gemara. Now, this is a lengthy question, which we will not be able to finish today, but let's at least make a start. Mosiv Rav Oishia asks the following question, and this is all based on the assumption that the Gemara just told us that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva that Kiddushin is not Teifas in Chayvei Lavin. So it's a rather lengthy question, which we'll make a start to, but it's based on the halacha of Yibum. Now, we know that in the case of Yibum, i.e., somebody passed away tragically without children, so his wife, the Almana, is not free to marry if her deceased husband has a brother. She must perform either Yibum or Chalitza, one of the two. By the way, nowadays, Yibum is not performed, rather, Chalitza is performed. Okay. I recently had an interview with one of the big Rabbonim in the Rabbanut, who said, unfortunately, tragically now in the war, many young soldiers have passed away, and there have been countless cases of Yibum and Chalitza. So, the young soldier, barely married, 21, 22, 23, whatever it may be, didn't have children. Rahmona Litzlan was killed in the war, and all of a sudden his wife is not free to marry. So, this Rav said he's had to preside over several cases, many, many, many cases, unfortunately, tragically, of Chalitza. Either way, According to the Torah, at least, either yibum or chalitza must be performed. As long as there is no yibum or no chalitza, she is tied down. She cannot marry anybody else in the world. Now we have a fascinating question. What happens when the yavam means the brother, would like to perform either yibum or chalitza, but is not allowed to do so? He's not allowed to do so. He's also to marry this woman. He's also to marry this woman. So let's give the most extreme example. The most extreme example. Imagine there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has a daughter called Rachel. And Shimon, his brother, marries Rachel. You're allowed to marry a niece. Now Shimon passes away. So Rachel has fallen for Yibum to her father, Reuven. Well, he can't do Yibum there. He's not allowed to do Yibum. So there, because it's an absolute issa to marry her, there is no chiv of Yibum whatsoever. You don't have to do Yibum or Chalitza. So there she goes completely free. You're only tied down, as it were, when we're talking about a yavam whom you are allowed to marry. Then there are two options on the table, and you've got to take one of them, either yibum or chalitza. But if it's a yavam that you're not allowed to marry, like the case we just said, well, finished. So then she goes free. Here we have various cases. This is just by way of introduction, but we'll see more of this tomorrow, where she does not go scot-free. It is a lower form of issa. And if it's a lower form of issa, for example, the case we just said before, when Shimon married his niece, well, that's not a lower form of issa. That's a very high form of issa because now Reuven, who is the Yavama, his own daughter, well, that's chayvei krusos. So then this daughter Rachel goes completely free. But what would be the halacha if it was a chayve lavin? Chayve lavin. So it's a lower form of issa. So it's true, he's not allowed to marry her. That may well be true. He's not allowed to marry her. For example, the case we just said before. Imagine there are two brothers and they're kohanim, but one of the brothers is a kohen gadol. Now the brother dies. So can the Kohen Gadol do Yibum with this woman? Surely not. She's an almana. Almana to a Kohen Gadol. But almana to a Kohen Gadol is not the high form of Issa. It's a low form of Issa. As we said before, it is Chayve Lavin. So what's the halacha in that case? Does she go free? Does one do Yibum? Does one do Chalitza? We'll see. That is our discussion. So Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll take this up. From the beginning, this last line of the Gemara over here.
Rabbi, can I just ask one question? Is there a comparison to say there's no gittin unless there was a kedushin?
Yes.
So therefore, there's no chalitza unless there was a yibum, because chalitza is a release from yibum as gittin is a release from kedushin.
Chalitz, exactly, yeah, well put, yes. If there is no form, if no chi of Yibum, there's no chi of Chalitza. Sometimes we'll see midrabbanan with mechayev chalitza. That we'll see tomorrow in the session. Okay, have a wonderful day, everybody.
Good.